Well, a warning to First Nations listeners, the following story will mention a person who has died. In developing news overnight, the Northern Territory government has passed its controversial child protection law reforms in a late-night sitting of Parliament. Critics say the legislation weakens the Aboriginal child placement principle, which acknowledges the importance of country, culture and community to Aboriginal kids. Several groups protested outside the NT Parliament yesterday ahead of the debate. It also drew a rebuke from the Federal Minister for Indigenous Australians, Malindiri McCarthy, and earlier this month saw the NT Children's Commissioner, Charlena Musk, resign in protest. The legislative push came on the same day as the release of an interim review into the Territory's Department of Children and Families, sparked by the death of Kumanjai Little Baby in April. Catherine Little is the Chief Executive of the Secretariat of National Aboriginal and Islander Childcare, known as SNAICC, one of many organisations which has opposed this legislation, and joins me now. Catherine, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning.
Catherine, this legislation is now passed. What are your key concerns?
Look, the key concern is the same one that everyone who spoke up against this legislation raised, and that is that you can't pretend to care about the safety of children when you ignore the evidence about what keeps children safe. This legislation effectively erodes protections that were put in place because Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in the child protection system suffer greatly, and that of harm is lifelong, it is erasable, and it creates conditions that are perpetuated over generations. It is absolute cruelty to ignore that evidence. It is unforgivable to make decisions that you know will unfairly impact and damage children for the rest of their lives, the most vulnerable children in the country.
The NT government says the legislation has been taken out of context and that all children will be treated equally. What do you say to that argument?
Again, it's one of those silly, false arguments, and it's a form of distraction. It's a form of politics. The truth of it is legislation in and of itself can't change the world. It cannot. But what it can do is get you on the front page of a paper. It can make you look like you're doing something when you're not doing something. When we look at the review that was sparked at the same time as this, and that horrific review that was on the pages everywhere yesterday, sparked by the death of that beautiful little baby girl, that review into the child protection system did not identify any failures in the legislation. So it's a completely false argument. The other critical point in what makes it a false argument is that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are unfairly treated within the child protection system, which is why we have gross overrepresentation. Not a little bit of overrepresentation, gross overrepresentation, which
means
fundamentally it was already
unfairly?
Failed. Gross overrepresentation. So at this point in time across Australia, nearly half of all children in child protection systems are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, despite only making up about 9% of the childhood population. When you start drilling, and that's what the evidence given to the scrutiny committee was, the drilling, when you look at what causes that overrepresentation, you see fundamental failures in the ability to respond to families when they needed help. You see fundamental failings that will make decisions about Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander children that are harmful, and those decisions get perpetuated at a deeper and higher rate the further you get into child protection systems. It means that those are the children where you see intersectionality between juvenile justice systems and then adult justice systems, and then a complete cycle. So, for example, in some of the regions that were hit by the stolen generation earlier, we're seeing six generations of removals and absolutely no way to break those cycles. The overrepresentation is monstrous.
As the legislation was being put through, other state and territory ministers, including a Federal Social Services Minister Tanya Plibersek, put out a joint statement reconfirming their commitment to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child placement principle. What does that statement signify?
Look, it's almost unprecedented to see a move like that, and basically it signifies how very serious this change to legislation potentially is. It shows that ministers across the country are very well aware that there is a reason that that principle was put in place. And again, it talks to the fact that when you're making decisions about legislation, you need to actually genuinely be caring about what the potential impact is when you effectively erode the only tool that was put in there for the protection and safety of those children's rights.
Are you concerned that Queensland didn't sign the statement?
It is absolutely disappointing to see that Queensland didn't sign the statement. And again, that's something that goes into the history books and will be recorded as such.
Will the organisations that are opposed to this legislation, including the one that you lead, will any seek to challenge these new laws through the courts?
What we know is this conversation is far from over, and certainly there are conversations about where to go next, but it's certainly not something anyone's going to back away from. The child placement principle was fiercely fought for over many decades. It came from recommendations out of incredible landmark reports like the Bringing Them Home report, that Royal Commission, but there's also hooks to it in things like the Royal Commission into Black Deaths and Custody. There are significant tools available, and I don't think anyone's going to let this conversation die real quickly.
Catherine Little is my guest on Radio National Breakfast. Catherine, the Child Safety Review launched after the death of Kumanjai Little Baby handed down interim recommendations yesterday, including an overhaul of the Department of Children and Families operating model. What do you make of these recommendations that have been made by former New South Wales Commissioner, Police Commissioner Karen Webb, and former Acting NT Anti-Corruption Commissioner Greg Shanahan?
Look, the review basically points to what Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities and organisations and advocates have been saying for a long time, and that was there was a fundamental failing in the child protection system. And again, the changes to legislation do nothing to address any of the recommendations that are currently put forward in that particular review, because it wasn't a failing of the family. It was a failing of the system overall, and that's what it found. Little baby's family did not fail her. They did not fail to keep her safe. What needs to be truly understood about this was there were multiple system failures that resulted in a very, very dangerous offender having access to a child. Now, that is unforgivable, and that is something that was known by government systems, and those systems failed this baby girl.
Catherine Little, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Catherine Little there, the CEO of SNAKE. And Radio National Breakfast approached the NT Chief Minister, Leah Fenocchiaro, for an interview. We didn't receive a response.